Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Indiana Pacers. Boy, it seems like just yesterday we talked to the head coach, Brad Stevens. We're going to do it again. Brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Proud to celebrate 20 years on Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For List. Now hiring all skill levels in a store near you. Search for jobs online at WFM.com/careers. This is a kind of a bizarre one, but I was literally and selfishly in some ways, after going through this day-to-day thinking about it, this could be from your own experience, observing others. How much of exhaustion or fatigue is mental? Is that a huge component of it when the lights go on and the ball goes in the air and you forget about the fact that, hey, we're all a little bit tired today?
All the sleep specialists would say that it's physiological. So, yes, there is a mental fatigue that comes with it, but that's because you're not sleeping. So I think that they would all argue that it's physiological. But, you know, the one thing is we're used to this travel schedule. You know, the sleep should be something that, unless our guys have kids, you know, for the guys that do have kids, you're probably getting up when your kids get up, and hopefully you get a good nap in later on in the day. And for the guys that don't, they probably slept a normal amount of time and then got ready to get going again tonight. Obviously, we played an overtime game last night, but if you really look at it, nobody played an exorbitant amount of minutes. And, you know, we were trying to manage a couple of guys regardless in that game, and it worked out.
I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but when you say it's physiological and that's what everybody has told you, are there specific things we're talking about, reaction time, the things like studying about driving or being impaired or whatever? Is fatigue act the same way in that it slows reaction time, or what is the number one thing?
Well, that's what they would say about lack of sleep.
Right.
That's what they would say about lack of sleep. And then, you know, from the load standpoint and how much you're putting on your body and everything else, that's why we have so many people monitoring that right now for our team and every other team. But I think, you know, certainly the reason why we don't do morning shoot-arounds on days of games after back-to-backs or after the first of a back-to-back, or we practice at noon instead of 10 a.m. is because the cumulative effect of a lack of sleep does present some issues. At least that's by all the research that we've seen. So we try to manage that proactively, and then we don't talk about it. We just get ready for tonight's game, and I let all of our training staff tell me what our emphasis should be with each individual, and then we came up with a game plan.
I think anyone would ever have kids if they knew any of this information. Access to it, probably.
Those are the nights that we're all. That's right. Yeah, when we got in, I don't know what time you got in last night, but I think I hit my pillow at about 2:45. And I was looking at my alarm and thinking, yeah, I got to get up. Both kids got to go to school tomorrow. But, you know this too. Like, when you get back, part of the happiness factor is you want to see your kids in the morning. Yeah. And so just part of it.
All right. You talk about we're talking about the overtime game last night and energy and fatigue. You use the expression compete level a lot, and it wasn't a perfect game by any means, but it seemed like a game in which the compete level was pretty high.
Yeah, I thought we did a pretty good job. I mean, we had our moments where we weren't great, but for the most part, I thought we were pretty locked in, and we competed. Obviously, getting that 10-point lead and then giving that up in the last 5 minutes of regulation was disappointing, but I thought to come back and down three, send it to overtime with those three free throws by Kyrie, get a stop when you had to get a stop, and then win the game in overtime was a good win.
There are secondary effects, and we're going to talk a lot about Greg as he becomes acclimated here to the system. One of the things that happened because of it last night was a lot of Marcus Morris at the three, which we haven't seen. What was your reaction to that?
Well, and this is the hard part about making a move mid-season is that you do want to see. And so the reality is we play three games in 4 nights, and then we have 2 days, play a fourth game, and then we go on a one-week break. And so we need to be able to get him some minutes in the game, Greg. And the best way to do that and keep Marcus's minutes where they were is play him at the three. And I thought the one thing that did stand out was we had some post advantage with Marcus that sometimes you don't have when he's at the four. He's got more of the skill and spread him out and drive him advantage. But at the three, he can win some of those post battles too, which is something that we need to continue to look at to take advantage of.
Oh, we didn't have time for this last night. We talked about the new structure of the deadline and the All-Star break in the context of guys getting dealt and moving their families. But overall, basketball-wise, is this just in general, in addition to being after the trade deadline and teams having their rosters, a better strategic place for it to actually have it later at really more the three-quarters point of the year?
You mean the All-Star break or the trade deadline?
The break.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't know the answer to that. I would say that having only 23 games left after the break is a little unique, as the, you know, the other part of that is playing 59 straight is pretty unique. So I think that, you know, we're all learning with this new schedule that they've put together, and I'm sure we'll have more discussions on whether people like it or not.
All right, we haven't seen the Pacers, obviously, since December. Seems like a lot of games have come and gone since then. And while they don't have Collison, who's been a very important part, a really underrated element of what they do, what you don't necessarily – we've come to expect great defensive teams from Nate McMillan, but offensively, this is a very creative team, and the way they spread the floor and the way they're using Bogdanovich lately is one of the reasons to me, among many, they're very dangerous.
Very fast, very smart. They know who they want to get the ball to. They cut with great purpose and intensity. They play the right way. They play really hard. All the things that you would say about a good offensive team. And then they know who to get the ball to. Like, and Oladipo works really hard to get it. You know, I think that he's a guy that he can cut off screens, he can back cut, he can use dribble handoffs, and he's really improved his middle pick and roll game, and they're number one in the league in the amount of middle pick and rolls they run. And Turner's ability to pop and shoot off of it, Thaddeus Young's ability to pop, shoot, or drive with his left hand, and then Sabonis is just ridiculous up there with his ability to not only play in the seams, but also read and make the next right play.
That's why it's going to be a tough back-to-back. Celtics and Pacers next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.